Okay, despite what you're hearing from Trump and the White House, the U.S. and Israel are badly losing this war with Iran. And in fact, Trump is already looking for a way out. Israel is starting to complain online about their civilians being targeted, if you can imagine the hypocrisy on that, after years of Israel deliberately targeting civilians in Gaza and Lebanon and the West Bank and Iran and Yemen, you know, etc. All of a sudden, Israel has found its new victimhood status. Oh, we're the victims. Really? No, you're not. You're the aggressors. But Trump is looking for an exit ramp. That was clear in his speech yesterday afternoon. And on top of that, Iran has now laid out the terms for a U.S. surrender. In other words, terms for concluding the conflict. And wouldn't you know it, they are exactly the terms that I mentioned, that I predicted a week ago or whatever it was. Now, I'm not claiming that Iran would listen to my podcast, of course, but these are kind of obvious, sort of self-evident points. And they are, number one, that the United States has to lift all economic sanctions against Iran. Sanctions that the nation has been under for, what is it, 47 years or something like that. It's been decades. Secondly, that Iran, that the U.S. has to respect Iran's right to develop nuclear weapons. Because, of course, after all of this, and after the assassination of the Ayatollah Khamenei and many of his family members, etc., Iran is absolutely going to pursue nuclear weapons if they don't already have them. And they are demanding that the West accept that reality, that, yeah, Iran is just going to be recognized as a nuclear nation, which will, of course, immediately cause Israel to stop attacking Iran. You know, going nuclear is the best self-defense mechanism that exists in our world today at the nation-state level. And the third demand is that the U.S. compensate Iran for all the damage that has been caused and the losses of oil and the losses of infrastructure, etc., loss of life. And that's probably over $1 trillion, is my guess at this point. But those are the demands, or at least those are the first three demands. There's actually, I don't know, five or six demands. But those first three are the ones that I mentioned before, and that's what Iran has just laid out. Now, understand that Iran has the leverage here. So in the big picture, Iran controls the Strait of Hormuz. And if the U.S. were to even attempt to have U.S. naval vessels try to escort other ships through the strait, then Iran would attack and damage those naval vessels and possibly even sink them, or one or more of them. It's even rumored that the USS Abraham Lincoln was already struck by an exploding drone and it was on fire. You know, it didn't sink. Aircraft carriers are very difficult to sink. But it took some damage and then had to flee the area, but or at least flee the shoreline, you know, or anywhere close to shore. So Trump can stand there and say, hey, everybody just start sailing through the strait. But in reality, Trump can't stop Iran from targeting those ships. In other words, the U.S. Navy cannot protect the Strait of Hormuz. And that's a key takeaway from all of this. If the U.S. Navy can't protect the Strait of Hormuz, then Iran has the leverage. Iran is in control of the global economy. The U.S. is not. Yeah, the U.S. can bomb Iran, but unless somehow the U.S. can manage to destroy every single drone launcher, which is impossible because drones can be launched from, you know, pickup trucks or tents or garages or shacks or small caves or anything. Drones are very portable. There's no way the U.S. can stop the drones, which means there's no way the U.S. can offer protection for the Strait of Hormuz. Nor for Israel, as is now obvious, because Israel is taking a tremendous amount of damage. And you probably heard Ben-Gvir got killed. He's a war criminal, a Zionist war criminal. I don't celebrate anybody's death in this war. I always call for peace, but he was an evil person, no question about it. And he oversaw the deaths of hundreds of thousands of other people. So there you go. Also, reportedly, Netanyahu's brother has been killed by a missile strike. And also, let's see, who else? The son of Smotrich has been seriously wounded and might die or might survive. It's not clear. Apparently, shrapnel sliced through his abdomen and sliced his liver. But as you know, the liver can grow back. So, you know, maybe he'll be okay. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But Iran is in control. That's why Iran gets to set the terms of the U.S. surrender. And Trump is rapidly trying to find an off-ramp to this by saying in his press conference, and I'm paraphrasing, but Trump said, you know, we're almost at the end, or, you know, it's almost done. Like, we've almost destroyed everything, and we're going to... It sounds like he's about to say, we're going to declare victory and leave. Well, guess what happens if you declare victory and leave? You still don't control the Strait of Hormuz. No. In addition, if the U.S. pulls its assets out of the region and backs away from Iran, hoping that Iran will reopen the strait so that the world economy doesn't collapse and the dollar doesn't collapse, etc., well, then who's going to protect Israel? Not that the U.S. is really doing anything to protect Israel at this point, but Israel's going to keep taking missiles from Iran, and so will the Gulf states. So in other words, Iran is committed at this point, absolutely committed, and they've elected their new supreme leader, the replacement, who's the son of the Ayatollah Khamenei. I don't recall his name yet. I guess we'll all get used to his name, whatever it is. But Iran can continue to fire missiles at Israel and the Gulf states and the military bases and ships going through the Strait of Hormuz at will. And that puts Iran in the negotiation position to be able to demand terms from every country in the world that wants to use the Strait of Hormuz. So you talk about holding all the cards. It's not Trump. It's not Hegseth. He's a moron. It's not the U.S. It's not Israel. It's Iran. Iran holds all the cards to the global economy, the oil economy, the natural gas economy, which is far more crucial in many ways, not as much storage, for example, and also the sulfur that we talked about yesterday, sulfuric acid, etc., and food deliveries to the Gulf states, which come in through the Strait of Hormuz. So Iran holds all the cards, which means that Iran can dictate all the terms to everybody that uses the strait, which is most of the world. Most of the world. And one thing that Iran could do is, moving forward, even if they decide to reopen the strait, is they could say, okay, you're going to pay a toll now, and it's a toll to help us rebuild all the damage that was caused by Israel and the United States. So every ship that goes through the Strait of Hormuz has to pay, I don't know, what, $5 million. Let's say. And by the way, these ships, remember, these ships cost like $400,000 a day to operate. So $5 million is not even a very large amount considering the value of the cargo they are carrying. You know, they can be carrying, I don't know, many tens of millions of dollars worth of energy on any one trip. I don't know the exact number, but it's big. So whether it's $1 million toll or a $5 million toll, whatever it is, Iran can start demanding that toll. It's a tollway now. The Strait of Hormuz, you pay if you want to sail. And Iran can even explain, we're going to do this for, you know, 5 years to compensate for all the damage so that we can rebuild, and we will ensure the safety of the ships that pay the toll. Why wouldn't they do that at this point? Why wouldn't they? You know, what are the Gulf nations going to do? What's Bahrain going to do? They're about to have a revolution themselves. What's Qatar going to do? Nothing. Otherwise, Iran could just blow up their water desalination plants. What's the UAE going to do? Nothing. It's tiny compared to Iran. What's the U.S. military going to do? What can they do? They've already thrown everything, and it's not working. The regime hasn't been overthrown in Iran, which was the goal. The country hasn't collapsed into chaos, which was also the goal. And the U.S. military is taking, I believe, hundreds of casualties, ship damage. They've lost multiple war planes, you know, fighter jets, But more importantly, Israel is being destroyed by the day. And Israel, just like we saw in the 12-day war last year, Israel is probably telling Trump, you have to find an off-ramp. You have to find a way to end this because we, Israel, we cannot endure this for another 3 weeks. So, again, Iran is in control of the situation. The U.S. is not in control. And yet the U.S. is, you know, giving you a dog and pony show, of course, with all the press releases and all the liars in D.C., Carolyn Leavitt and Trump and Hegseth and, I don't know, all of them. They're all just absolute, well, they're war criminals at this point, by the way, for violating international treaties and much more, deliberately targeting school children to be exterminated, as they did. But they're also just liars, just daily lying all the time. So here's what's interesting. If you look at the global oil situation right now, it's so desperate. So much of the oil infrastructure has been either destroyed or frozen by the Strait of Hormuz that Trump just announced he's going to end all the oil sanctions on other countries in order to ease the global energy crisis. So imagine that. Remember when Trump was threatening India and Taiwan and Japan and saying, how dare you buy oil from Russia? And also threatening China that if you buy oil from Russia, we're going to slap a 50% tariff on you. Well, he said that to India. And he did. He slapped a 50% tariff. And Trump thought that he could control the world through tariffs. Well, the Supreme Court shot that down and ruled it's entirely unconstitutional, which it always was, because Trump is just a lawless thug at this point, a lawless thug just bullying the world and wielding the United States of America as his personal weapon of terror against the rest of the world. Well, even he is having to lift oil sanctions on other countries in order to keep more oil flowing. Why? Because gas prices are starting to go up in the United States. And while the average U.S. consumer doesn't pay attention to really what's happening with war in the Middle East, they sure know how much they're paying for gas. And every time you drive around, there's a sign from a gas station that's telling you what the prices are. So it's kind of hard to cover that up, although I'm sure the White House will try. So the White House is trying to keep those numbers low as we move into the election season for the midterms later this year. But I don't think it's going to work. It's also the same White House that tried to tell you that your food is getting cheaper, that inflation is going down. And last Thanksgiving, they said, oh, your Thanksgiving meal costs less this year than last year. No, it doesn't. They're all liars. They're liars and crooks and war criminals. And of course they're lying to you about everything. But, you know, they'll try to release more oil from the Strategic Oil Reserve or Energy Reserve, except most of that's already gone. You know, it hasn't been filled back up. But they'll try to push other countries to export more oil. I mean, they'll use every tactic in the book to try to get more oil flowing. But without Iran allowing use of the Strait of Hormuz, that oil is not going to be the same. We're talking about something like 20 million barrels per day of a deficit compared to what used to flow in the global economy. 20 million barrels of oil a day is a significant chunk. It's not the whole world. You know, it's not 100% of the oil, but it's a lot. I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a very big chunk. I want to read for you some of the notes of the damage that Israel has already endured. And this is from an online user that put all this together named Cool Ustaz. But I confirmed these numbers. At least this is what's being reported, although none of us are on the ground, so we can't be 100% sure. But Netanyahu is lying to the world, just like Trump is lying to the world, about the damage, trying to cover up and say that, you know, Israel's not hurt at all, and, you know, the U.S. hasn't been hurt, barely any deaths among U.S. soldiers, etc. But here's the truth. The Dimona nuclear reactor has been severely damaged and is offline. I don't know the status of its destruction, but it's a lot. Apparently, 11 top nuclear scientists have been killed in the strikes on Dimona, and the facilities there on the same grounds. Six senior IDF generals have been eliminated in targeted assassinations and missile strikes. 198 Air Force officers, apparently, including many senior pilots. 462 soldiers killed. These are IDF soldiers. 32 Mossad agents have been killed in covert operations that went wrong, some of those in Iran. Also, the head of Mossad, I don't recall his name, but the head of Mossad was just assassinated. Apparently, there's over 700 high-value personnel in Israel who have been killed. And remember, also Netanyahu's brother and Ben-Gvir, etc. They're all dead now. And this is why Israel is starting to panic and starting to claim to be the victim. Oh, our civilians are being targeted. Oh, yeah? Really? You didn't say that when you were blowing up hospitals in Gaza, did you? No. So Israel is starting to get the Gaza treatment, and Iran is dishing it out, except that most people, most Americans don't know this because you're not allowed to know any of this. Also, X heavily censors any truth about the damage in Israel. So X is doing the bidding of Netanyahu, as is the White House. So Netanyahu appears to be hinting, that is, assuming he's still alive, which we don't actually know, but assuming he's still alive, he may be headed towards the decision to use nuclear weapons against Iran. And remember what I said before, that if anybody uses nukes in this, it's going to be Israel first. And I believe that Iran already has nuclear weapons. And if it gets struck by one nuclear weapon, one or more, that it will unleash its own nuclear weapons on Israel, for sure, and possibly the maybe some of its neighboring countries that have U.S. military bases that have attacked Iran, or possibly even a nuke over a U.S. aircraft carrier. And I don't know that a nuke would actually sink an aircraft carrier, but it would certainly kill everybody, you know? I mean, the dead structure might still be floating, but the radiation would render it useless. Who knows what would happen. I'm not sure that's ever been tested. There are probably other experts who know better than I do, but it would not be a good day for an aircraft carrier to have a nuclear weapon detonated over it. So anyway, the bottom line is Iran is in command, Israel's getting hammered, and Trump effectively has put Iran in a place of more power than what it had before this war began. Because before this began, Iran had no justification for striking its neighbors with missiles and asserting total control over the Strait of Hormuz. Now Iran does. And Trump and Netanyahu handed that to Iran. So, in effect, Trump has made the U.S. look weaker. Obviously, you know, the military looks weak because the mission hasn't been accomplished. And Iran now looks stronger. And also, at the same time, Trump appears to be completely losing his mind. And here's a quote from Trump. I want to play this video for you. I think this is legit. I don't think this is a deep fake. I want you to hear this video and then see if you can make sense of it.
He's denied it, but they were very strongly involved in all of the people that died through the roadside bombs, died and are right now walking around with no legs, no arms.
All right, did you hear Trump explain that so many people died because of roadside bombs, and all those dead people are right now walking around with no legs? I mean, the level of stupidity of such a statement, I mean, yeah, it's classic Trumpian. Trump just makes shit up as he's talking. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But when you say that dead people can walk around, and then also that you can walk around with no legs, both of those things are just bizarre to claim. It's like something's wrong with his brain. Is it 25th Amendment time? That needs to be considered. You know, Trump has become Joe Biden. Joe Biden used to say those things. and we would all mock Biden's. Oh my God, his brain's gone. Now it's Trump. Yeah, brain's gone too. So now Trump is doing what every desperate collapsing empire does, is just start threatening with ridiculous terms. You know, Trump is becoming the Baghdad Bob of America. So Trump put out a quote here. He said, this was on Truth Social. He says, quote, if Iran does anything that stops the flow of oil within the Strait of Hormuz, they will be hit by the United States of America 20 times harder than they have been hit thus far. Additionally, we will take out easily destroyable targets that will make it virtually impossible for Iran to ever be built back as a nation again. And he says, death, fire, and fury will rain upon them. That's Trump. That's Trump. But I hope and pray that it does not happen, he says. So, death, fire, and fury. What the hell? What? This isn't presidential. This isn't even legal to say we're going to completely destroy your civilian infrastructure so that you won't exist as a nation. That's a gross violation of treaties that have been ratified by the United States Senate and you know, the UN Charter and so-called rules of war, which they are codified, by the way. So Trump is just like, we're gonna destroy everything if Iran doesn't allow ships to sail through the Strait of Hormuz. So this smacks of total desperation. Of course, Trump is getting desperate. He's panicking. He's losing. And the world economy is collapsing, and the dollar is collapsing, and the U.S. stock market is probably going to collapse, and the derivatives market is going to implode, and gas is going to skyrocket. Food prices are going to skyrocket. So all Trump can do is make more threats. But he can't actually physically open the Strait of Hormuz because, well, for all the reasons we've talked about. So Iran, in response to that, simply said, not one liter of oil will move through the Strait of Hormuz without our permission. You see? You see? So Trump is off in the corner screaming like a lunatic, oh, we're going to hit you 20 times harder. We're going to hit you a gazillion times harder, you know. And Iran is like, well, we hold the cards. We have the geography. We are the ones who can project power through the Strait of Hormuz, which affects the entire world's economy, the energy infrastructure, the financial system, the petrodollar, all of it. So Trump walked himself into the biggest catastrophe that I believe will go down in history as one of the worst military mistakes in the history of our country, and also one of the worst geopolitical mistakes ever by any president, because it's insane. So where is this going from here? Probably Trump will try to figure out some way to just announce victory and leave, and then Israel is going to be on its own to a great extent, because, you know, the air defense interceptors have just run out. So Israel, I mean, there's not going to be some deal now to stop Iran from launching missiles upon Israel like there was last summer. Iran could be hitting Israel week after week for the rest of this year, hitting the airport, hitting, you know, government, hitting whatever, hitting factories, nuclear power plants, you know, you name it. And there's literally nothing the U.S. can do to stop it, and there's nothing that Israel can do to stop it. At some point, if Iran holds out long enough, then the U.S. and Israel are going to have to offer terms of surrender. That is the surrender of the West. And those terms, like I mentioned earlier, have already been described by Iran. And Iran, by the way, is starting to lay out terms for whose ships can get free, safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. So Iran put out a post that said that any Arab or European country that expels all Israeli and U.S. ambassadors will be allowed to have their ships have free passage through the Strait of Hormuz. So you see? See what I said? You have to pay a toll. And the toll price has been set by Iran. And the toll price is, number one, you expel Israel from your country diplomatically, and you expel the United States diplomats from your country. So how desperate is the UK going to get here with no energy? You know, at some point, maybe Spain or France or Germany or the UK will say, my God, we can't survive without natural gas. So, you know, kick the ambassadors out. Get a couple of shipments in of gas. Otherwise, we're done as a country. Otherwise, our industry collapses, etc. And then, see, Iran, like I said, Iran holds the cards. Iran has control. Iran has a leverage here, not the United States. There's nothing the U.S. can do to stop that. They've been trying, you know, but Iran holds the cards. So that's where all this is going. In the U.S., it looks like there might be a military draft. And you can imagine there's almost no 19 and 20-year-old young male in America that wants to go fight and die for Israel. So if there's a draft, that's not going to go well. It's just going to end up with nationwide protests and, you know, conscientious objectors saying that they won't go fight. You can't blame them. Who wants to go fight and bleed for Israel anyway? But probably a draft is coming. This war is going to continue for a long time unless the West surrenders. So that's where we are right now. Yes, Iran has been taking a tremendous amount of damage. Yes, life is difficult for everybody in the region, everybody in Dubai even, everybody in Riyadh, you know, everybody in Kuwait, life, everybody in Israel, everybody in Iran, everybody's suffering right now. That's because Trump and Netanyahu started this thing. They started it. Now they claim that, oh, if we hadn't started it, Iran was going to bomb us first, so we had to bomb them first. Well, you started it, you know? It's like, you know, two kids in the high school. I had to punch him first because if I didn't punch him first, he's going to punch me first. So I had to punch him first. It's like, that's what they sound like. A bunch of retards running countries into the ground, you know? Just absolute total retards and crooks. But that's where we are. So if you want to stay informed on this, I am posting amazing stories. And sorry to brag, but they're really good. People are loving them. Every day at naturalnews.com. Amazing stories that are done with tremendous AI research because I've built a whole engine to spawn all the agents and bring it in and everything. So articles every day, naturalnews.com, and then also infographics on each article. So I think you're going to really love those. So check it out, and then you can follow all my videos at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and Iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. HealthRangerStore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount. And then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.